And welcome to the Sportscast, May 25th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube and on iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please write us a review, rank us. That will help us out for people to find us. What a week. I will have to say the most unpredictable NBA round conference finals I've seen in a while. And I, you know, people ask me who's going to win tonight. I choose the opposite of way that, like, of what they think. And on the line, we got Jeff Farrer. Jeff, has this round been unpredictable?
It has been, man. I mean, just when we thought we had it figured out, you know, Golden State loses a game at home, which almost never happens. I believe they had just set the record for most home playoff wins in a row. And then, you know, they even went into the fourth quarter with a double-digit lead. And, yeah, they fell apart. I mean, it surprised me. And, you know, tonight I'm anxious to see what happens with the Celtics and Cavs.
Yeah, the Celtics won Game 5. They went up 3-2. Cleveland and Boston have both won their home games respectively. Game six is tonight, and Cleveland. I think Cleveland's going to tie up the series and then go into seven games. And that seventh game is going to be so hard to predict. What do you think?
And I agree. I think Cleveland will protect their home court and they'll win. You know, when it gets into game seven, again, it just, I know the Celtics, you know, have really been great at home. And I'm not trying to discount them, but I'm sure that they would like to try to end it in game six, because a game seven against LeBron James is really, really difficult. And you know he's going to bring – I mean, he brings it every night, but in a game seven, that's a situation that's you don't want to find yourself in too often.
Do you think LeBron's tired, or do you think – I mean – his surrounding cast hasn't done much. We're talking about, you know, Kevin Love is the second best player, but that game that you know, Cleveland didn't have. I mean, this is like the weakest Cleveland cast I've seen since he first got here. Let's see the points. You know, LeBron had 26 points, and I'm pulling up the box score right now. But, okay, Kevin Love had 14 points. George Hill, 7? I mean, everyone has single digits but Kevin Love and James.
And, you know, it was funny because during the broadcast, they made a big deal about the fact that LeBron looked winded. And it's difficult because when you watch these games, obviously they want to create entertainment and storylines and all these things. I just don't know. I think it's asking a lot of LeBron to be the best player on defense and make most of the plays on offense. So inevitably, you know, he's going to get winded. Now, in terms of saying, you know, are his legs gone? Is he going to be tired for the rest of the playoffs? I have a hard time going along with that. It's possible, but I think LeBron still has a lot of good basketball left. And, yeah, he could be worn down. You know, the Cavs have had a couple longer series, and this one's probably going to go seven. But, you know, they have to find ways to at least get him a breather here and there, because he has been playing a lot of minutes. And then the other thing is, and I don't know who it would be, but they just need guys other than him to play better defensively. I mean, it sounds really simple, but it's bad enough if you're asking the guy to either, you know, he's going to be your leading scorer, he's going to be your leading assister, he's going to probably be either one or two in rebounds. And then on top of all that, you're going to tell him, well, when we need stops, we need you to guard the other team's best scorer, which against Boston is tough because they share the ball so well. You know, it's hard to really even pick one guy that you're going to have him guard. It's tough, man. I'd say he's a little bit, I'd say he was winded at the end of that game, but I think he'll bounce back in game six. I think he'll get his legs back under him.
So what's your hunch, your stomach feeling about this? Do you think it's going to be Cleveland going to the finals, or you think it'll be the Boston Celtics?
When you look back at, you know, defining moments of Hall of Fame players, a lot of times it happens in the playoffs. And I almost think that Boston might be a slightly better team than the Cavs. But again, you know, we said this even before round one. You just have a really difficult time picking against LeBron. And my gut, you know, I just think of all the storylines. Oh, the Celtics haven't lost a home game all year or all postseason. And then they get to a game seven, but they lose to LeBron. I think that's what's going to happen. I think the Cavs are going to win game six, maybe in a pretty good game, you know. But then I think they're going to steal that game seven. And that's just a hunch. I can't pick against LeBron James until he gets to the finals. Once he gets to the finals, then there's some historical backing that shows he's actually capable of losing there.
I have that same feeling, Jeff. I really do. I think, you know, yes, we'll win game six, but game seven, man, I'm telling you, I think it might go to overtime. Yes, I could see that. But gosh, if Cleveland loses, I mean, everyone will blame on the front office, the organization. They had, you know, had a weak, you know, weak cast around LeBron. That's pretty much what they're going to say. And it's funny because I was listening to sports radio today. And they were saying, if they had Dwayne Wade, Cleveland would be slightly better.
They may have been. But it's always funny to me, because when the Cavs are winning by 10 at home or 15 at home, nobody talks about the supporting cast being poor. And then when they lose, you know, it's because of the poor supporting cast. You know, the Cavs went two different directions. You know, the first half of the year, they tried to create a team with everybody could shoot and surround LeBron and let him facilitate. And they couldn't play any defense. So now, then they made all those trades at the trade deadline. They got younger. They got more athletic. I think when you look at it, the hope was that they would be really improved defensively because of the added athleticism. I'm not going to say that they're not improved on defense, but it's still a problem. You know, Boston, whether they're making shots or not, they've gotten a lot of wide open looks. And some of that's because they run quality offense. But some of it, too, is just the Cavs' rotation sometimes. You know, they go in these funks where guys are just wide open all over the place. And typically that gets you beat. You know, you can't keep doing that. So the Cavs might have had more firepower with Dwayne Wade because he did play well in the playoffs, but I don't think he would have fixed their defensive problems.
You're right. Cleveland has been lacking defense, and out in the West last night we had an amazing game, one of the best games in the whole playoffs. Golden State lost against the Rockets 98-94. The Rockets and the Warriors were going back and forth. One of the main players that I saw really playing well last night was Eric Gordon. He had 24 points. Chris Paul had 20 points. James Harden had 19. Clint Capella had 12. Golden State has lost two in a row. Do you think Golden State will come back and tie up the series?
I do, mainly because they're back on their home court and it's hard to see them losing twice at home, and well, then that would be three in a row, which would be really something they don't do often. The other thing is, you know, it's already been said that Chris Paul isn't going to play in game six. I don't know if he'll be right for game seven, but you hope he is. That's a brutal loss for the Rockets, because Chris Paul he's the calming force and the facilitator on the offense. I would think the Warriors will win game six. But truth be told, man, they just have not played. You know, the expression I've always heard is, you know, the Rockets, they were able to drag the Warriors into the pig pen. And all that means is they're making it an ugly, slow game. And, you know, the Rockets come down, they isolate, they wait till there's 10 seconds left on the shot clock, and then they run their offense. And it's ugly at times. It results in some bad shots. But what it's done is it's put the Warriors in a position where they can't get out and run and do all those, you know, get the wide open threes and the fast break dunks. You know, they've taken that out of the game. And then the corresponding move that just baffles me is when you watch the Warriors right now, instead of running their offense, they're doing all these ISOs with Curry and Durant. And that's just not who they are. You know, that the Warriors were great because they move the ball and they run consistent offense and they get quality looks. And to me, you know, the Rockets, it's almost like the Rockets are in the Warriors' head a little bit, and the Warriors just, they're just not playing well. You know, I don't want to discredit the Rockets because they've played well. They've played physical. They've played quality defense. But I'll tell you what, Kevin Durant, you know, you can go the whole way back to when his last year with Oklahoma City, he had a couple wide open 15-footers late in games that, you know, Oklahoma City could have been going to the finals instead of the Warriors. And he didn't get it done then. And now here we are again, you know, these close games, Durant has disappeared in the fourth quarter, both of these last two games. And that's the guy I'm curious about. I don't know what his mental makeup is. I don't know how tough he is.
Yeah, Kevin Durant had 29 points. Draymond Green had 12. Klay Thompson had 23. And Steph Curry had 22 points. You're right. Golden State and Kevin Durant hasn't defined itself. It feels like, you know, Kevin Durant is getting in the way. It feels like of the Golden State chemistry. Yeah, I know they won a championship last year, but it feels like he's that one guy you have to pass the ball. But Golden State, you're like a team, you know, team, you know, you work as a team. So I think Golden State is going to win Game 6 and Game 7. Chris Paul injury, that really is going to help out Golden State by a lot. You know, and keep in mind, Golden State was down 3-1 to OKC 2 years ago. So this is nothing new.
Yeah, that's right. And I know they came back from 3-1 against Oklahoma City. I hate to say this, but I felt as though the Warriors played better team basketball without Durant. And that, you know, Durant's a great player. I'm not trying, you know. But it's like you said, you know, too many times they come down and try to isolate him, and then guys away from the ball aren't moving and they're not active. And the other thing that, on defense, the thing that bothers me about the Warriors, Draymond Green is a really nice player, but I don't think he's a true rim protector. And if you're playing against the Warriors, I mean, once you get past that first line of defense, first of all, the help defense has been lackluster, to put it nicely. And secondly, even if you do have guys in position, you know, you need somebody that when James Harden and Chris Paul are getting down the lane, somebody that can offer some type of resistance. And they just don't have that. You know, Green is a physical player. He's a good rebounder and all those things, but he's not a shot blocker. And when I watch the game, I don't know who that guy is going to be. And Iguodala being hurt is a big deal because he's clearly their best defender. But again, even with Iguodala, you're basically saying we need to stop them before they get in the paint because it's not as though he's a rim protector either.
I agree. I think Iguodala, his absence has been a major factor, which I think it's why they lost these two games. But we'll see what happens. I really think Golden State's going to come back. The scenarios of the finals is so unpredictable that I can't say it's going to be Golden State Boston or Golden State Cleveland, but who are your final two as of right now?
If it wasn't for the Cavs, I would take the Rockets, but no, I think it's going to be the Warriors and Cavs. If Chris Paul hadn't got hurt, I think the Rockets could have pulled it off. But without Chris Paul, I mean, they were already only running a six-man rotation. Now you lose your second or third best player. And then on the Boston and Cleveland side, it's all about LeBron. I mean, I hate to keep saying that, and I don't mean it to sound like, you know, none of the other players in the series matter, because obviously they do. And the Celtics are a really, really good young team, and I think we're going to see them in the Eastern Conference Finals a whole bunch of times over the next couple years. But what I get concerned with is if you get into that Game 7, the Cavs have a lot of guys that have been there and been in a lot of playoff games. I mean, you have LeBron and Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson. I mean, even J.R. Smith. I mean, I know J.R. Smith for quarters at a time just looks like he's completely out of his mind, but he's still a veteran that's been in a lot of playoff games. And with Boston, my concern would just be that they tense up a little bit in Game 7, and if it's a close game, that could be the difference.
Yeah. Who would you give the final shot to, Kevin Durant or Steph Curry?
Oh, man. You know, that's tough, but the thing that I just, as a basketball fan in general, what just drives me insane is relying so much on isolation. I mean, what I would say is I would try to get, you know, obviously it depends if you need a two or a three, but if you only need a two, I'm going to try to get Steph Curry going to the bucket and let him use his ball handling. And then from that, you know, if you get doubled or, you know, maybe you run a high pick and roll, get somebody off the ball moving, because you have Klay Thompson who can really shoot, and you have Durant who can really shoot, and you have Curry who can really shoot if they don't respect, you know, his ability to attack the rim. And what I see now is just, and it doesn't help, you know, the Rocket or the Warriors needed a bucket, and I believe it was Jordan Bell ended up taking the shot. I mean, I don't want to be mean to a kid or what, you know, he's a young guy, he's going to get better. But if you have Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry, one of those guys needs to be taking that shot. You know, that's just the reality of it. Big players make big plays, and you need those guys to knock down shots.
There has to be that one leader. NFL news, yeah. Tom Brady not showing up to OTA, big deal or not a big deal?
I mean, I don't think it is. You know, it might be a little bit different than the norm, and I would say there probably is just a little bit of drama going on with the Patriots, but I don't, you know, the NFL this time of year doesn't have a lot going on except for minicamp, so they need storylines so people keep talking about them, but Brady's going to be the quarterback, and Brady's going to probably play pretty well. I mean, this is just off-season stuff.
Yeah, like the OTA is optional. It's not like you have to go. I think like the stars don't really show up, right?
On a lot of teams, that's true, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like in college basketball when there's open gyms. You know, you don't have to go, but if you don't go, the coach will find out. So you probably should go, but it's not mandatory.
Yeah, I was reading Patrick Mahomes was struggling during the OTA, completed just 4 of 15 passes with an interception in a full squad session. He went 7 for 12 with an interception and 7-on-7 drills per ESPN, Adam Teicher. I mean, it is OTA. I don't really going to put too much weight on that.
And I think every coach is a little bit different, but I know in the past, Andy Reid has always, in OTAs, they've always run set plays against set defenses, meaning, you know, in a lot of those scenarios, the defense knows a lot of what's coming. So, you know, I wouldn't get too worked up on things like that. Now, if we're, you know, if we end up in game two and game three of the preseason and Mahomes is turning the ball over, well, you know, then that's a problem. That would be a problem.
Yeah, it's a red flag.
You know, I will say this though, even as a Chiefs fan, the Mahomes hype train from different personalities has gotten to the point that I'm almost saying, okay, let's pump the brakes just a little. I mean, I love it and I love hearing it. And I think he is going to be really, really good, but let's pump the brakes a little bit. You know, let's just slow the train down to a. It can go fast, but let's not make it a runaway hype train here.
Exactly. So tonight, predictions, the Celtics at Cleveland. Who you got?
Yeah, I think Cleveland will win, and I think they'll win. I think it'll be one of the better games of the series, because I think Boston really doesn't want that game 7, but I still think Cleveland will win by 8 or 10 points.
How many points do you think LeBron is going to score tonight?
Tonight? Man, he stays aggressive at home. I wouldn't be surprised if he scores 38.
I think he has to score over 40 for Cleveland to have a chance, but he has scored over 40 and they still lost. But you still need help from Kevin Love and George Hill and hopefully Kyle Durant. I haven't seen him play it lately, and I'm not sure if you watch hockey, but I'm going to say it anyways. Who's going to win the Stanley Cup Finals, Capitals or the Vegas Knights?
Vegas has been really impressive, and I saw that they had a chance to potentially win a title only playing, I think they said, 19 games, which is wild to me. I think the Capitals will win, and it's not because I know a lot about hockey or, you know, have a lot of analytics to back that up. I just think that there were so many years that the Capitals were the clear-cut, you know, best team in their conference, and they went nowhere. You know, they constantly choked in the playoffs. And I think now that they finally got over that hump and they got that monkey off their back, I just think they're going to get the job done, and they're going to win their title that maybe they should have won in previous years. So I think once you get that monkey off your back, it just kind of sets you free.
You got the Capitals. I'm going for the expansion team that's never won a championship in their first year, or like the first expansion team to win a Stanley Cup championship. And I'm going to throw your curveball. Who you got between Real Madrid and Liverpool?
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I got nothing.
It's a Champions League.
Yeah, it would be a coin flip for me.
Okay, well, I'm a Liverpool fan. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll say Liverpool because that's the name of the neighboring city to where I grew up. So that no real rationale other than that.
You chose correctly. I chose Liverpool. They're my team. Big weekend in sports. You got Champions League final. You got the NBA Eastern and Western Conference Final Championships. And I think the NHL Stanley Cup Finals begin tonight at 8 p.m. on NBC, so we got a full-fledged of sports. It's raining down here in Florida. Is it raining up there this weekend?
Not on Sunday and Monday, it's supposed to. Not until Sunday. Yeah.
Good time to watch sports or go to the movies and watch Han Solo?
I'm going on a kayak trip tomorrow, so I'm gonna be on the water. So that'll be even better for me.
There you go, nature. But exercise.
That's right. That's a good way to put it. That's right.
Well, Jeff, thanks for coming to the Sportscast. How can people reach you?
Best way is to check me out on Twitter. It's at JT Falver.
Jeff, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
All right. Thanks, Santiago.